Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Hank Kuhneman, is red hot for the Messiah because God has given him a revelation that transformed his life and is going to transform the lives of a generation. Why? Because we've had the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, and we needed it, rightfully so. We have had the revelation of the power in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, rightfully. But we haven't had the revelation of God the Father. It's the final revelation before the Messiah returns. And on yesterday's broadcast, Hank Kuhneman said, I'm going to share things for the first time I've never shared to this degree publicly before, and I'm doing it because God told me there are people that need this. And I'm going to tell you something. On yesterday's broadcast, we found out he had a stepfather, and he had a blended family, and he felt as if he really wasn't a Kuhneman. Because it wasn't his natural father, but even more so as a child notices differences. His father's parents favored the children that came from his father's first marriage. And it hurt. At Christmas time, Hank would see a difference. But in this maze of, we humans are so complex, and all the emotions going on as a child, and Hank sees these things going on. But even in the midst of all of this, at age 5, God reaches down and speaks to him. And, of course, he was raised in a non-Christian family. And what did you make of this at age 5, Hank, when God spoke to you?
You know, what it did for me is it gave me an awareness and a hunger. It was like a seed that went into me that I began to search to know what that was and who it was. And so, you know, things would happen. In fact, one of the things that was said to me growing up, I was a little guy walking into the grocery store with my, my blood grandma. People would stop me, some elderly women who were shopping would stop, and they would say to my grandma, that young man, God's hand is upon his life. And that would scare me. Not like, I didn't think of it as the call. I thought his hand was upon me, and it would bring me back to those words that I was to do good and treat others nice. And even when I was being mistreated, by even some of my brothers and sisters at times, and my grandparents that were, the adoptive grandparents, I stayed in an attitude the best that I knew how to, treat people with honor and treat them with respect. But I'll tell you what I've learned, though. God is more than just a creator. He's more than just a biological parent. You know, he's not like some of us that, like my biological father who disappeared. We have some that are listening today. They have fathers that have disappeared. They don't even know where they're at. Or maybe they do know where they're at, but they were left without a father.
We have a generation that is raised with single parents.
That's right. But you could tell by the first question recorded in Scripture that God wanted to be more than a creator. This is why I believe it's the final revelation.
What was the first question in the garden?
Adam, where are you? If he didn't want to be more than a creator, he would have never asked the question, where are you? And then go and find his son who blew it. And that's the thing sometimes we think, well, golly, our lives, we've blown it, we've made mistakes, we've been without a father, or maybe we didn't grow up in the most ideal family. But God is the one, as Abba, he's always pursuing. We see this with the story of the prodigal son. It was the father that ran and kissed the young man, falling upon his neck and kissing him after the prodigal son blew it. And so, you know, I see this with Abba's love, and I see where this is very important revelation for today. Let me give you an example. You know, as I began to grow up in my home and things were heated, I used to sit back and think, well, how come my mom and dad, you know, they're allowing a lot of this to go on, you know, this divisiveness between the grandparents and, you know, you're not a real blood relative, you are half or you're not at all. And that's not to fault them, but I couldn't understand why this was taking place. And so even my stepdad, you know, he was a tremendous man, very hard-working man. He would come underneath the protector and the provider type, you know, put a roof over your head, put food in front of you. But there wasn't a lot of affirmation. In fact, Sid, I was never told growing up, I never heard the words, and I'm not saying this to be divisive, I'm not saying this to be harsh, because my dad, the story, there's a good ending that I'd love to share with the listeners. But here's the point. I never heard the words, I love you. And that's...
How important is that for a child to have that affirmation, to hear I love you from a parent?
Well, the revelation of love. You know, we think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we, you know, we always quote it, you know, that's how we're supposed to be as Christians. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't boil over in jealousy. You know, love doesn't take an account of a suffered wrong. But if you think about what the scripture says in the book of 1 John, it says that God is love. So the very essence and definition of love is who God is. And so when you read that in Corinthians, it's not just how we should be as loving Christians and people, loving others, but it's God's revelation of who he is.
You know what? I believe if you would read those characteristics of if God is love, what are the characteristics, not necessarily our love, but of a God kind of love. And I believe as you read this, Hank, say it almost prophetically, and it's going to start healing people that are listening.
Yeah. God is patient. God is kind. God is not prideful, arrogant, or conceited. God's love does not boil over in envy. God's love is he doesn't take into account of a suffered wrong. And so the reason why I say this is because when you don't have that in your life from a parent, and all you're getting is the opposite, you're getting harsh. You know, my dad was never abusive, but he never showed very often that affirming side of love because he didn't know how. He came from a generation and from an upbringing that really didn't emulate.
You know, I can really relate to what you're saying because my father came from that same type of generation. Now, I know in retrospect, he loved me. However, he never said it. He never affirmed me to my memory. So I can really relate to what your background was, Hank.
But see, that's the whole reason Jesus came into the earth. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's the very reason why the Pharisees got angry at him in John 8. They were accusing him of being illegitimate because the revelation they had was God the Father as a corporate father, but not as a personal daddy. And it also upset the Pharisees that Jesus was using the word Abba. He was talking in their mind as a, you know, small child, that he wasn't using an older term for father, and he was also personalizing it. This is my dad. This is my father. And so, and I talk about that in my writing. Now, here's what's interesting. When Jesus rose from the dead, this is why affirmation is so important, that maybe some that are out there listening today saying, you know what, I can relate to you, Hank. I grew up, and I never heard the words, I love you, from my father. And now the Father is speaking out of heaven, and I believe he is speaking to this generation, and he is saying, I love you. I'm not mad at you. I affirm you. Yeah, you might have made mistakes, and yes, maybe you are making mistakes, but I, as your Father, am looking down, and I'm wanting to do what Jesus did with the children, because if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, and that is where he began to welcome the children into his lap, Jesus did. And I believe that the Father is calling people today to himself. He's reaching his arms out and pulling them and saying, come here. Maybe you have a father that disappeared. Maybe you don't even know who your biological father is. Maybe you're adopted. Maybe you have a step-parent. Maybe you have those that say you're not real flesh and blood. The beauty of it, Sid, is God is pulling his kids and those that he has created close to him, and he's wanting to pour his love, his affirmation. You know, I had teachers growing up. They told me, they said, don't public speak. You're not good at it. Don't write. You're not good at it. But today, Alva has graced my life to where I'm now able to stand on platforms around the world preaching for him, and I'm able to write books. Just because somebody said we can't do something, Alva will affirm us. And I think that's the message that I want people to hear today is, yeah, we might go through things. Yes, we have hurts and pains. But if we'll turn over to the Lord and we'll call out to Alva and say, Alva, I need you, he'll affirm you.
What does the word Alva mean exactly?
It means daddy or papa. It's a more intimate description. You know, if somebody said, well, what happens if I call God Abba? Here's what I said. Whatever you, Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And he said, Lord, show me your glory. And then God said, all right, here's how you're going to get my presence. See, Abba wants to hug his people. How does he hug people? He brings his presence. How do you bring that presence? Well, it's like a magnet. When you call God, that's why the Lord, when he appeared to Moses, he said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I am merciful and gracious, full of loving kindness and truth and goodness. So God was telling Moses, if you want to draw me to you, here's what you say. It's the same way today. If we want that affirmation that maybe we didn't get from our parents, we need to say, Abba.
And by the way, you're literally telling us to say that. You are literally, in your book, you explain this. You are literally saying every time we say out loud and with our heart and with our words, Abba, he draws closer to us. Oops, we're out of time again. I want to get his brand new book literally just off the press, My Heart Cries Abba, and his three CDs with information he has never completely publicly shared before. We call this the final revelation. Father God, available for a gift of $35. I want you to call or write today. And as we go off the air, I want you to say, Abba, daddy, my Abba. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org to hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural. Visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Call 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter or materials catalog. I really want to mentor you monthly to walk in the supernatural of God. Log into our website and get information on how you can join our mentoring clubs by becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.